given access to receive messages of clarity, guidance, and love. As channeler, psychotherapist, and author, Noemi Grace has an intimate dialogue with the divine on your behalf. Lisa Berry, creator of the show Light on Living, will be co-hosting as live callers ask their burning question on self-love, self-healing, deepening relationships, areas of struggle, and next steps. By simply listening in, you're receiving wisdom that will lead to sacred stability from every channeled message that Noemi delivers. Join us now as we give you access to angels and grace.
Ooh, well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Access to Angels and Grace. Hello, Noemi.
Hello, Lisa. So nice to be here, as always.
Yes, yes. I feel like these shows are just becoming more and more powerful in such a deepening, loving way for everybody to, you know, get that, get the access they need, but through the doorway that's best for them.
Yes, and then also to offer up possibilities and strategies, tools for how to deepen your own self-love, your own self-journey, your own work on yourself, you know, to deepen that so that it's not only inspirational, but it's transformational if you allow it, if you choose it, you know, if you choose it, there's transformation available through these every time we have a new show.
Yes. Actually, it's interesting when you said that. I was thinking a lot of people think, oh, yeah, I know to have self-love and I'm told to do that and I like to think I am, but how the heck do I do that? And today's big question title, which is so helpful, is how to commit to what honors you and do your choices honor you or betray you? And interesting, the word commitment really came up when I was listening to our show there because, you know, we think, okay, well, wait, how to commit to what honors you? And I think, well, maybe we need to deepen and know and understand more about commitment. Like, what does it mean to somebody? And that's where I felt like, oh, I got to jump on commitment here. Hold on.
Well, and that could be a great, you know, deepening of this into another show because commitment is huge. You know, we make commitments as human beings and we have varying levels of ability and desire to see it through.
Yes.
I've discovered that I am not a gym person because every time I make a commitment to a gym, I go for 2-3 weeks and then I decide I can't. I just don't like being in a room full of sweaty people. It's not my way to exercise. I dislike it. And so I spent all this money and I'm stuck with that money spend. And I realized, no, that commitment is not for me. I can commit to exercising on a regular basis several times a week, but to commit to the gym. Well, that's one where I was just not good at it.
and you know what? Every time, maybe you never knew that. Maybe this whole, like, you know, we go through our lives and we think, oh, what, I love that you said that because lack of follow through is one of my points today. But it's not lack of follow through. It's actually self-honoring yourself. Like, I don't like this. I love working my body and having movement and not being stagnant, but not this way. But if we don't know that, Noemi, a lot of us just say, I failed. I can't do it.
Yeah. So this self-judgment comes in. Mm. So are we committing to something that is not in alignment with us? And that's where the honoring comes in. So we made this commitment and there have been other things that I've committed to. Recently I was in this, I don't even know what it was called, some kind of a abundance circle thing. Dream weaving circle. And I committed to it, and with money up front and everything, and time commitment. And the people were lovely, and the intention was good, and it was not my way. It really was not my alignment for creating abundance. It was the way it was going about, which was nothing wrong with it, but it wasn't my alignment. And so when we don't know ourselves enough, or we know ourselves but aren't willing to to honor. We aren't willing to say no to something that is good, but it's not us. That's when we dishonor ourselves. It's not necessarily a bad thing. And I didn't dishonor myself by making the choice, but if I was still there, it would be dishonoring, because in the making of the choice, I made some major changes in my life, which I'm still doing now, many months later, which have been so helpful. So it's really about being willing to choose what's really in alignment with us, which what feeds our souls, which what is our truth. When our inner voice is screaming yes, that we say yes to, and when it's screaming no, that we don't say yes. And we recognize that, okay, it's time to say thank you, but no thank you.
Thank you, but no thank you. Yes. Oh, quick funny story. This is funny when you said thank you, but no thank you. A lot of times I was trying to be polite if somebody were to show me something like a food, like a dish that they had made, and it was full of like stuff maybe I don't like, but they like it. So I would say, wow, that looks so delicious. I'm so happy that you love that dish you made. But then they would make it for me and be like, ooh, right? Sometimes when we're all of those choices and ways we say things. I love that you said about alignment. We're back to choices. We always come back to choices, which I do love. Do your choices honor or betray you? Are your choices in alignment? And yeah, when we say it like, you know, dishonoring or betraying, it sounds so heavy and so like, whoa, you know, that must have been a big ball drop. But it's really like what you just said. If it doesn't mean it's right or wrong, there's no judgment. It's just not my alignment, like your own personal alignment.
Yeah. And when you can recognize that and be willing to say no to something that's good. I mean, abundance is great. I certainly, you know, would love to be manifesting more money. Definitely. You know, and it wasn't all about money, because I took other aspects of it and really worked on those and made some changes, as I said. But it is, so good things are not necessarily our things. It's not necessarily what's really best for you, what's in alignment with you. Just like, you know, people talk about my truth. Well, my truth is not your truth. It is, and there's so many layers of truth too. Oh, we can do a lot on that. Because if we think what the ego is telling us is our truth, well, nope, that's not it at all. Our truth is way deeper than that. But so recognizing what's true for you and honoring that, even if it means not going to a family gathering or some place where you just are really feeling that it's too costly emotionally, mentally, spiritually to go to. You know, if that were your thing. I am going to a family gathering in 2 weeks, so it's not me, but it has been, you know. And so it's like recognizing what's my truth now, what's the best choice I can make for me now. And doesn't mean the other choices are bad. It's not a choice of good and bad and yes and no, but it's, yeah, this is good, but it's not the best choice for me right now.
I like that. And the sometimes when we make a choice and we say no, or we think it's my truth, this is what I need, ego is where I'm going to go with this one, is that we might say no to something or yes to something because of our ego, but it's really, we think we're protecting ourselves, but we're protecting the ego. And I love your pre-channel message, which we'll have you share, because what comes up, I'm just going to give it all away right now. No, I'm not. is awareness of, okay, wait a second. I'm standing by my choice. I made this choice to protect my truth. And but then we think, oh, wait a second. Whose truth? Is that ego's truth? Or is that true self's truth? And so how to have that awareness. And I think what I loved the pre-channeled message this week, because I'm just going to let you share it, and then I think people will hear it. But for me, what really came through is deepening. That word deepening is coming up. Deepening my listening, deepening my awareness, deepening my questions to find out where am I coming from.
Yeah. It really is about deepening. The whole, all of this Living Beyond Wounds series is really about deepening. It's going deeper than the wound, going beyond it, going deeper than the stories we've been telling ourselves, beyond that, deeper than what the ego's telling us, deeper beyond it, and seeing what's true there, what unfolds there, if we're willing to look, and we'll be pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. So this is self-honoring as a way of life. And I started by asking, how can we start to practice self-honoring more? So to become more self-honoring, start by developing your awareness and becoming more self-observant. Through the practice of mindfulness, which we encourage all of you to develop, you can observe yourself and your environment and notice the outcomes of your decisions. By examining your decisions, you can notice if your choices honor or dishonor you. Do your choices nourish you, nurture you, uplift you, or do they stagnate or starve you of joy, peace, and fulfillment? When you honor yourself, you experience joy on your journey, and your choices lead you to deep peace and fulfillment. If you do not know how to honor yourself, start by recognizing the results of your thoughts and actions. Do you awaken with thoughts that put a smile on your face, or does the stress level ratchet up before you even get out of bed? Notice yourself. How is your body in the morning? Does it feel like it's been in a war zone all night? Is it numb with a sense of paralysis? Does your life excite you or bring you a deep sense of calm? Both of these can be indicators that self-honoring is working in your life. Begin to notice which choices uplift you and which drain you. The choices that drain you are a good place to look for dishonoring. And when we say look, we always mean to observe non-judgmentally. Self-judgment always dishonors you. Learn to observe what works and what doesn't, what fills you and what drains you, what nourishes you and what fails to provide upliftment and encouragement. Start by observing, then embrace this truth. If a choice and the thoughts associated with it do not fill you or fulfill you, or at least bring you peace, then somewhere in the process of that choice you are dishonoring yourself. It may be in the actions you take, such as disregarding your inner voice when it screams no, and saying yes to something or someone that drains you, or that you don't have the energy or time for today. Learn to honor yourself in your choices, but to do so, you must confront the lies, the non-truth that keep you making choices in the same way, which dishonors you. Sometimes it's the manner in which you do something that dishonors you, such as being anxious or agitated or fearful when working on financial concerns or we're doing things for family and friends. Even tasks you do not enjoy do not have to dishonor you. Do them in a way of honoring. Be grateful that you're well enough to do the task or have the resources, the abundance needed for the task. Learn to bask in doing the task. We've told you before, Noemi Grace, to always bask, then ask for help if needed, and then do the task. Bask in divine love, peace, calm, stillness, whatever centers you. And then ask for help from us or others if needed, and then do the task. Bask, ask, task. This is the way to start honoring yourself and your choices. But the deepest honoring occurs when you truly know yourself, when you know who you are and embrace the truth of who you are. When you discover your own magnificence, then you will rarely choose what diminishes, demeans, or discourages you. You might do it by accident, by being unaware, but your awareness is elevated by knowing your deepest truth, not the ego's truth, but the truth of who you are deep inside. Discovering yourself is the greatest discovery you can ever make. Discover your truth, your personal deepest, highest truth, and align yourself with it. Then you facilitate self-honoring as a way of life. Make honoring yourself a priority. To do so, you must recognize the choices, actions, and behaviors which do not serve you. And you must also be willing to choose differently, in a way that honors you more. And to fully honor you, you must fully know you in the deepest part of your being. And then you must live your knowing through your choices and actions. Living your life this way not only honors you, it also creates openings for you to fulfill your deepest purpose and to create a life that inspires and fulfills you. With so much more to say, We are complete in this transmission, and we are cheering you on to your full discovery and living of the truth of who you are. In great love, namaste.
It's just such a beautiful reading, a channeled message, because it's just pure and loving, and it offers this biggest suggestion there for me, Noemi, was self-observant and be self-observant in your environment. What a great place to start. To look around and what you said, does your life excite you or bring a deep calm? But I like the part where you said, do you wake up already grumpy and like blah? You know, are you like,
and we all have days like that, you know. I think this is the trend. What is the trend? Do you wake up like, oh no, or you wake up and somewhere in the first few minutes some joy, some peaceful feeling or pleasant thought pops into your awareness?
Yes, and to keep you going, to welcome you, usher you into the day. And if we don't even think about that, we just hop up and go, yep, here we go, back on the wheel, and not get to have that joy, that really is an honoring. I don't think people use the word enough. I'm just in love with this word.
No, I don't think we do. I think we think of honor as something like military service or, you know, something like that. And so then those of us who are not in the military don't think of it's not a commonly used word. It's not a use we use self that we use that we attach self to, self-honoring. But it is self-love is self-honoring. There's a section and there's a message in my book that I've written, which is a book of channel messages, an intimate dialogue with God, the miraculous power of unconditional self-love, that talks all about how self-love is self-honoring and self-honoring is self-love. And if we want to love ourselves more, then we've got to start being willing to honor ourselves through the choices we make.
Exactly. I love that. And as we will go to commercial break, and we'll let everybody kind of sit with that and think about it. Like, just have a look around in your life right now. Be self-observant in your environment. And what are you feeling about it? How do you feel about yourself? Is it bring you joy, or do you need to make some different choices? So we're going to talk more about this when we come back to Access to Angels and Grace.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
My loves, you know you're here as a soul-led leader to transform this world through the sharing of your passions and gifts. You are here to be in your warrior of light and align your business with your highest self. I'm Rosalyn Fung of the show Activate Your Soulgasmic Business. Let's elevate your business to the next expansive level. I invite you to flow into a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalynfung.com. That's R-O-S-A-L-Y-N, fun as in have some fun, F-U-N-G, and let's see how I can best hold space for you to align your highest self magnetize your dream clients, and monetize on your soul mission. I can't wait to connect.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Do you feel like your emotions are all over the place? That's normal during this abnormal time. There are a number of ways to cope. Maintain a healthy routine, get enough sleep, eat nutritious food, and exercise at least 30 minutes each day. Schedule some time to talk with a friend or family member. And remember, you can always take a few deep breaths to feel more centered.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back, everyone. And I was excited to bring this up during today's show because we had an epiphany when we were chatting, and it was that self-honoring isn't sometimes so blatant. It's not in your face. It's not easily, pointed out. And what we kind of thought about was that at one point was, wow, there are things that we can do, activities that are self-honoring, like maybe working out or eating well or working on our relationship with self and others or just doing something, but the voice inside of our little heads of why we're doing it and how poorly we may be doing it, or maybe we're doing it because we're not good enough, and if we don't do this then we're not going to fix ourselves, and that is very dishonoring. And so the very same action that we can continue taking, we chatted about how that can be very dishonoring about where you're coming from as well.
Yes. And that came from a post I recently did where I was walking and I just say, hello, divine. I greet divine as I'm walking, and I hear, you are exactly where you need to be and where you need to be now. And I thought, no, I'm not. There's more. There's more to manifest. There's more to be. There's more to do. And I was resisting this, and then I realized that I've been envisioning really fulfilling my soul's purpose on a really high level and doing fun things like traveling and being in a beautiful space, living in a beautiful space. And I realized as I was chatting with the divine that all of this was done because I felt like I wasn't where I should be. I should be someplace different. The basis of that envisioning was about me feeling like I should be somewhere else, that where I am is not where I should be, that therefore where I am is not good enough, and therefore I'm not good enough.
Yes.
Because if I'm not where doing, my being, all of that is not good enough, then I'm not good enough. And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm putting effort in every morning and energy to visualize, and I'm still doing that, but starting from gratitude for this moment that I'm here now, that I start with the visualization now with, I live in unconditional love, and it starts from there and it ripples out to more. And so I'm doing the same action, but it feels so different because I recognized that this is a beautiful moment right here. There is joy here available. There's peace available. Everything. There's nothing wrong with this moment. And there's nothing wrong with me in this moment. And just being with that brings so much peace. It brings relief. Yeah. So much relief. And from that peaceful, relieved, loving space, I do my envisioning now instead of starting from a different space, but that what I'm visualizing is still very much the same, and it's so different.
It's like a magical wand was just waved over, it's so beautiful. And just an interesting share, almost exactly similar to that, is that I work with not very many, but a very select few clients still with nutrition and wellness and weight loss. But I never want that to be the goal, because when you come at weight loss, I'm not where I should be. I should not be this weight. We beat ourselves up over this. And, by doing the exact same thing she was doing before, but with a different space of coming out with love, is the first time in over 10 years that the scale has been moving for her and the inches are coming off, and she's like, and I'm having so much fun, and I know I can't fail because she's already perfect. She's already where she is supposed to be, and everything makes sense. And a question that's coming through me right now Yeah. Oh, sorry, I didn't get you time to respond.
That's
to that
very. I just want to say that that is speaking to me quite a bit as well, because I injured my knee right at the beginning of lockdown last year, and I was just struggling to really walk or exercise. I did gain weight, and I have not been feeling good in my body. I feel sluggish, and I started to walk, you know, do this power walk every day. And at first it was, I gotta get in shape. I gotta do this thing, because I hurt myself on the elliptical, which is where I met the divine. So I was afraid to get back on the elliptical. So I'm like, I gotta do this fast, power this, that, and the other. And now I'm going and chatting with the divine, but I am actually, because I do have a pedometer app, and I'm walking faster, and I'm not focusing on that, because I gotta get some movement here. I've gotta crank it up, so maybe I can finally, you know, release some of this extra baggage, and it's so much more fun.
And you know where that judgment comes from, and this is where the question is going to come from. We were talking about judgment. And judgment really comes from, what I feel like it does, is expectation. I know in this particular client's situation, and mine, and probably yours, it's, we hold an expectation because we think others hold an expectation. So they think I'm fat. Now I think I'm fat. Well, I better lose it this way. And, oh, she's I lose it this fat. Becomes this, or like, be enlightened. Enlightened. I've been meditating for 20 years. Where's my enlightenment? You know, and it is about expectation. And so the question that was really coming through there for, like, it's like chattering in my little head now, is I have goosebumps. When expectations, when we believe others have expectations on us, like our parents, you know, you should be like me, you should be more like me, or you shouldn't be like me. And we've made those up. We've made up the expectation that we're holding ourselves to from others. How can we honor ourselves in the face of our false beliefs of others' expectations?
Well, and I've actually I've been on the flip side of that. I've been on the opposite side of that. I had a little... you know, some words with my husband, who's probably listening. Love you still.
Hi, David.
And I said to him, this was last week, I said to him, the problem is that I have expectations, and I shouldn't have any expectations. I've been doing all this work on myself, and I still have expectations. I need to do more work on myself. And I realized the problem was not that at all. It was that I didn't communicate what my expectations were. I was expecting that they were known. And they were understood, you know, I mean, after all these years, you know. And so that was my thought, you know. So realizing that expectations, I've always held them in a somewhat judgmental kind of way. And I'm really working on getting clear, you know, with the divine too. But I was told to sit with it. Expectations on one hand, attachment on the other hand, and how to have the expectation but not be attached. And so sometimes they don't tell me the answer right away. They want me to sit with it and some kind of
well, they knew that
awareness.
I would be asking this on the show. That's why.
Yes, and some kind of awareness shows up. So I feel like it's really not only about the expectations that we feel like others have of us, but what about the expectations we have of others? And expectations are such a, I think you, it's without expectations, you know, to be human without expectations. I'm sure, you know, you can, but it's part of life. And so, but then how do you honor yourself, whether you're holding the expectation or you think someone's holding the expectation?
Yeah.
So,
oh,
and seeing, I just
good.
Took a peek at the time, so I'm just going to get a jump swig in. And I'll just ask the divine whatever they want to say about this. And so this time I'll get some clarity from them. So I'm excited.
Oh, I'm glad we could assist.
So I'll just take a few seconds to go deeper, deepen the connection with Source, and then turn it over to them. Hello, Divine. I'm excited to be in the position to receive some wisdom, some clarity, some help about expectations and honoring ourselves and how the two relate and or not, and whatever you can share with us to help us in this, because expectations are something we all experience. And yes, we will share. We are delighted to share. And we are delighted to have this opportunity. And yes, expectations are part of your human life. And you do not recognize the expectations that you hold. And you do not accurately understand and assess the expectations that others hold. And so you fill yourselves with expectations. You carry them as burdens in a backpack. You're carrying expectations of yourselves, expectations of others, and your perception of expectations that others have of you. And so there is this carrying of expectation, a weightiness of it. It weighs you down. And there is the attachment. There is the attachment when you hold expectation. To live without expectation is possible, but for most of you, not necessary and not probable, because you are not living isolated lives. Someone living alone in the desert does not really have to have expectations of others. Maybe they will get some food dropped and delivered once a week or something, but other than that, they have very little expectation. But because you are relational beings, because you learn and grow and heal and blossom through relationship, and sometimes quite the opposite of that happens in your relationship, but because you are relational beings, the expectations are going to be there. And so we are not here telling you, do not hold expectation. We are saying, do not attach to expectation. Do not attach to your perception of expectation, the perception of that you hold of others and that you believe they hold of you. Do not attach to it. Recognize your own expectation of yourself, your own expectation of others, and what you perceive, what you believe, what you think others are expecting of you. Recognize the expectation. See it with mindfulness. See it in that self-observant place and recognize it is showing up and it is here and there is expectation, but do not attach. It is okay to expect things of yourself and others. It is the attachment that makes it not okay in your experience. And again, we say not okay in your experience because we recognize it is all okay. It is all for transformation. It is all for your growth. It is all for your discovery of who you are in the depths of your being. And without some of the greatest hardships, you would never discover yourselves because you would live life at the surface. And so the expectations happen at the surface, but then they go deep, like deep roots. And if you try to pull out a plant with deep roots, you will only get part of it and the roots will remain unless you dig deep. And so the expectations, some of them are very deeply rooted, very deeply rooted. Do not judge yourself for expectations and do not judge others for your perception of their expectations of you. Learn to simply observe and say, I think they're holding an expectation of me. Oh, wow, I had that expectation of them. And simply observe it without judgment. And this is a practice. And the more that you can do this practice, the more that you can be with all of it and be free of it at the same time, to not be bound to it and do not be in bondage from it, but to be free, to be aligning with your truth. When the expectations happen, do they align with your truth? What kind of expectations do you have of others? Do you expect that they will return your messages within 5 minutes, within half an hour, and if they don't, that they don't love you? Well, that is not a reasonable expectation. Do you expect that they will never be there for you? That is not reasonable either, unless you have chosen people in your life and you have been born into a family in which they are not there for you and that will never be. And there are families like that. But we say that your expectation that no one will ever be there for you is not correct. You are not there for you. And the expectations that you have of others are they come out of your own expectations of yourself, your own judgments of yourself. And the expectations you perceive others have of you come out of your judgment of them, and your through that judgment, your perception of them judging you. And so judgment is at the root of the attachment to the expectation. And judgment is at the root of most of your expectations. But it is not a problem to expect others to treat you with respect. That is a beautiful expectation. But when they do not, you do not need to be disrespectful to them. You can say to yourself, they're disrespecting me, and find a way to extricate yourself and get out of that situation. And sometimes that is complicated. We recognize that, and we don't have the space right now at this moment to explain more. But we want to let you know that the expectations are where you have so much bondage, and yet there can be so much freedom if you hold them without attachment, if you observe them. I would like to be treated with respect. I expect others to treat me with respect because I treat them with respect. And when that disrespect shows up, do not be attached to being right about it, to being needing to say anything about it. Simply observe it and take yourself out of that place. And there's so much more to say. And yet we are aware that we must conclude in this moment. Namaste. Ooh, yes. Ooh, wow. Yeah.
Even gave us extra there. Oh, there was a bunch
was a
of
lot
goodies.
There.
Yeah. I'm glad I took notes on that one. Ah, because as we still have a minute, I have to share this really quickly. You know what about I love the Diletta, and we're going to come back to this after commercial, but expectations and others. Quick story to share here. When I was, I don't know, this is 10, 15 years ago, so it was around my 30s, and my sister, who we're very close in age, we got into this. She was still upset with me over not calling her back at a time that she really wanted, that she said, that's fine, I never want to speak to you ever again, and like forever in life. And so, of course, I got my mom and dad involved in this. We had a family meeting where my parents had to moderate, you know, or mediate this meeting, and it came down to my sister felt that I didn't love her enough. She wasn't important enough. She wasn't validated unless I called her back within like 4 hours. And I said, well, if I can get back to you within 3 days, I mean, I'm busy. And she wasn't really busy. And when it came down to, like, then we had to negotiate, like, okay, my dad said, well, could you handle calling her back within 24 hours? I said, well, listen, here's the thing. I don't want to be held to, I have to do anything. I do love you. I said, if that's what this is about, I love you. You matter to me. You're important to me. I'm really busy. And I said, and this makes me feel like you don't love me because you're not respecting me. And now you're forcing me into being afraid that you're going to take my sister friendship away because I can't get back to you. I said, and that doesn't feel like love. So there was quite a bit of learning why we each held these expectations and why we both didn't want them. So very interesting. I have totally forgot about that, actually.
that's a great story.
Yeah, and we all come from different places.
Yep. And with that, we will go to commercial and come back and continue.
Wonderful. Thank you. And thank you, Source. Mm-hmm.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, lightworkers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, Noemi, I would love to jump back in on this one thing that I loved. Loved your emotion when you said this. It was so cute. You were like, oh, I think they're holding on to an expectation of me. Let me observe it, but remain free. Remain free of it. You do not need to be in bondage of it. So, you know, so stay free. And I thought, I get that, because what we're saying there is observation is not attachment. We can observe it. Yeah.
Ooh, I love that. I like that statement.
And if you love that, if you think about that one, observation is not attachment. So if you look around and go, oh, they are holding an expectation of me. I'm holding expectation of them. Okay, but I'm not attached. So in honoring this, that's their expectation. I'm aware, I can respect that they have one, but I'm going to remain free and not be in bondage of it, because bondage, as we know, is not honoring ourselves.
Yeah, they said something about not being bound to it and not being in bondage. My tongue got twisted when they said bound and bondage. I wanted to say bond and bondage, and I was like, no, not bond, bound. So, but in that, being able to observe, being able to be the witness of who we are and witnessing what is happening. There's juice there. There's so much there. Can we witness without getting attached, without getting hooked into it?
Yes. And then there, once we are hooked, oh, that's so interesting you said hooked. My next word was, I'm coming back to commitment, because I'm very aware of this in relationships for myself. I never wanted to commit again, because once I committed, then there's expectations. And I was floating around before like, nah, I don't care what you do. You can do whatever you want. You can eat the crap you want. I don't care if that's what you want to do. And I was really able to not have these expectations in anybody. And once I committed to somebody, I was like, oh, darn it. I have expectations. And they're very self-honoring, right? But if we could go into that, Noemi, and even, you know, Sorsten, definitely, I chime in and chop it at the bit, because we're right back to that. If we want to commit to self-honoring ourselves, to making those choices, to observing and staying detached, but knowing that, so commitment and self-honoring, do we need to make this big thing? Okay, here. Commitment to me used to mean sacrifice, giving up, and making sure things are always fair exchange. But that's not really, like, that's very yucky and bondagey. So... So if we could we have Source chime in as well as you on self-honoring commitment?
So are you asking about committing to self-honoring or,
yes,
or what is?
Yeah, really committing to recognizing after we observe that, hey, that thing that I'm doing isn't really self-honoring. Self-doubt, maybe, like, wow, gosh, when I talk to myself in my head like that, how can I commit to observing it, but then taking action in a loving way and still not saying, well, you better fix that. That wasn't nice. You know, how can we lovingly commit to self-honoring actions?
To the actions, so taking those actions, so honoring ourselves. And so how do we turn the dishonoring into honoring? How can we commit when we've observed, right? Because we're talking about the observation. When we observe that we're dishonoring, how can we best commit to changing that for ourselves? Something like that?
Yeah. I'm writing it down. I love it.
Okay.
So after we've observed dishonoring behavior,
How do we commit to self-honoring actions?
Okay. I like to write the questions down. So it's, sometimes they jog my memory later because I often do a post the next day with also the replay link of some juicy juice from it, but I don't always have the bandwidth to listen to the replay before I do that. So if I can write the question, it may jog my memory of some of the things that are said. So that's why I take the time
to write
the question.
And just a quick invitation for anybody too, you know, because Noemi, you have started that, and thank you for being committed to doing so. Very honoring of us. If you'd like to jump on either Noemi Grace, you know, find her on Facebook, or Lisa Berry, and we're going to be getting that, our Angels and Grace page jumping in and hopping. But for now, just pop onto one of our, you know, become friends with us, and you're able to read some of these wonderful things.
And since we're talking about that, I actually want to say one thing that I would normally say late at the end, but I want to say it now because I might forget. And I was talking to one of my friends who likes to listen to the show, and she said, oh, she missed it last time, or the last show, and you know, she's got to catch the replay and stuff. And I said, well, every Monday at 12 is Eastern is Access to Angels and Grace. So if you missed it the one week, if you were free the next Monday at 12, it's playing. Oh, and yeah. So we are always, you know, the second and fourth Mondays were live, but the other Mondays, the most recent show is playing at 12 Eastern. And so on Om Times Radio. So you have that opportunity to listen in on any Monday, even if you don't remember, if you haven't had time to check social media to see if we're on today or haven't, just That's you true. Can always tune in because we're on.
Yes. Wonderful. So. Thank you.
Okay. So back to commitment. I sort of committed to myself to say that after I was talking to my friend about it. And so I did. I honored that commitment. So, okay. Another couple seconds. I'm going to go turn this over because I'm sure that there's something really wonderful here.
Okay.
Yes, there is much wonderful here. The topic of honoring yourself is how you're created to be. We created you to be honoring of yourself and others, and the dishonoring has become so commonplace for many of you that you don't recognize it. And as has come up in the discussion, that word is not even often used in the context of self. Honor yourself. How to honor myself, how to honor others. Honoring is a very powerful word because it also means love, but it means respect, and it means understanding, and it means acknowledging and embracing. It means so much in the context of love. And so when you can lovingly, with eyes of love, when you can see the dishonoring actions, when you can see, oh, here I am talking to myself again in a negative tone, or there I am expecting this thing is not going to work out because it didn't work out last time, or I'm expecting judgment from others. When you see yourself with that, those thoughts, can you step from that in non-judgment? In non-judgment, seeing yourself as human and back to a default pattern and stepping in non-judgment away from that. And then asking yourself, if I am committed to loving and honoring and embracing myself, what will I do with this? What is my best choice of action here? What is my best choice of thought here? What is my best choice of being here? And so being here now in the moment where you see yourself, you have observed yourself or you have observed someone else, there's no need for judgment. And yet judgment slips in automatically because it is what you have learned to do. And we are asking you to unlearn that and to learn to observe without judgment, to learn to observe neutrally, but to learn to observe lovingly, lovingly see, I am dishonoring myself. When you can see that you are dishonoring yourself from a place of love and without judgment, it is so easy to move to change your position, to change your stance, to move into a different action. It is the judgment that ties you to the thing which you judge. And so when you judge the dishonoring, when you judge that you have not been honoring, you are attached to that which you are judging and you cannot move forward. That judgment ties you together. You are bound to it. And in that binding is bondage. And we are here to say to you that that need not be. That need not be, because when you see it from love, you can see, oh, the vulnerability. Oh, yes, I have learned this behavior and I'm doing it unconsciously without realizing that I'm hurting myself, that I'm judging myself. When you can see these things about yourself, when you can see that you are doing something that you've learned and you've done it over and over again, there's nothing to judge. It's simply to observe and go, oh, and then bring awareness to the other choices that are available to you. What else can you choose? How can you step out of that? And so the first step is to non-judgmentally observe, to become self-observant and observant of others through the eyes of love. And when you see it in non-judgment, you're not attached to it. When you see it in judgment, you are completely attached. And so in that non-attached, non-judgmental space, you can then examine, what else is there? How else can I do this? What else could I say to myself instead of stupid me? What else can I say? Beautiful me. Or I can say, I'm learning from my mistakes. Or what is it that you can say? When you can say, I'm learning from my mistakes, that is a whole lot better than saying, I'm always making mistakes. Learning to see the other opportunities. Sometimes it is a subtle shift. You were still mentioning mistakes in that example, but you are mentioning learning. You are mentioning growing. You are mentioning being more, expanding more. And so allowing yourself to observe and allowing yourself to learn from what you observe and to change. And when you do that, the change is easy. It is the attachment of the judgment that makes it so hard to change. When you can see, oh, that thought hurts, and then you can say, I can shift my thought. When that thought hurts, you are able to shift your thought. When that thought hurts and you observe it with love, you are able to choose something much more loving. When that action hurts, you can choose something much more loving, much more nurturing, much more helpful. And so it is being able to be of service to yourself through the non-judgment and the non-attachment of non-judgment and the choice that comes from love and honoring of yourself. With much more, once again, we will end here for now. We love you so much. Namaste.
I love the part. You know what was so, I feel like everybody just connected with it. When what was shared was, now I don't know if it's of or to, but the attachment of the judgment is what makes it hard to change.
Or the attachment. The judgment creates attachment. Yeah. And then that's why it's hard to change, because we're they told me that word again, bound to. I started to crack up because I just couldn't say it. I'm hearing it and it's not coming out. We're bound to it and in bondage. Oh, that combination. Yeah. Bound to it, which creates bondage.
It's like having somebody pushing down on you and not letting you get up, because we're just so hard on ourselves. And saying, I love that you said, channeled, I'm learning from this mistake, or I'm growing from, I'm becoming more, as opposed to I'm always just making, because that attachment to that judgment of, gosh, I'm always wrong, I always screw it up, that will not allow you to rise. It's just so low vibration.
Yeah, it will not lift you up. Exactly. It would not allow you to rise. And so that judgment then, to me, I'm seeing like cement blocks on the bottom of your feet. You can't rise. You know, you're in the pool with the cement blocks. You're going down, because that's the attachment of judgment. And so in that non-attachment of non-judgment, we can make the change. It's not so hard. And that was really, to me, I think I knew that on some level, but to realize that it's that judgment that is making it hard for me to make that change. When we let go of the judgment, change is easy, just like this woman that you were talking about, your client.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And you know, I have to say this. This is where commitment came in, is actually the word attachment. Commitment is different than attachment. Attachment is with judgment. Commitment is with self-love. Oh, this is so even helpful for myself and everybody. I hope we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you. And if there's something that comes up that's the aha moment, or if something comes up and it makes it confusing for you, or you want more clarity or more depth to it, please let us know.
Yes, you love doing this. You so enjoy channeling. You do it so beautifully. Oh. And we love sharing.
I could do
messages.
It every day if I could. I would do it every day if I could.
Yeah.
And they're saying, oh, really? Really?
More
so
chat with Naomi Grace.
Perhaps someday there will be a change where I'm channeling everyday life. I don't know how that would look, but
Oh, that's a very self-honoring feeling. I love that.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Naomi, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Listen again for another show. And see you guys then, 12 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you so much, Naomi.
Yep, 2 weeks in June. May.
May.
2 weeks. I'm losing track of time. 2 weeks. Anyway, every Monday at 12, you'll find us.
Exactly.
12 Eastern.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye.